Let's look at the outline that you have. Let's take a look at the joy. Don't miss the joy of Christmas. Do you ever miss the joy of Christmas? I do. I can be a bit of a real perfectionist, traditional perfectionist, that is. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Because I would want things to go exactly the way they have gone. You know, like the decorations and all that sort of stuff. And I actually do have a real life example of that from this year where the decoration where it was not in the same place that it was before. But I liked where it was. It looked good there and everything. So anyway, it's kind of like, you know, Lucy, when she sees Charlie Brown Christmas tree, it's like, no, the whole season's ruined. Can't do it, you know. Get all upset. Anyway, I don't know if you like that. But as we consider the Christmas Advent theme for today, don't miss the joy of Christmas. I want to direct our attention to, I think is a profound thought. Makes me think a lot, and it redirects me, which is important. God wants to redirect us a lot. If you're missing the joy of this season, you're focusing on the wrong things. And that really hit home for me because I've definitely missed out on the reason for the season in the past. And even though all our traditions and everything that we do is all centered around the baby Jesus and Christ, and it's all what it's about, and get lost in the distractions, and rather than the simple amazement and just the beauty of this birth of Jesus Christ, that's really an awesome thing. Yeah, it's just the coolest thing in the world. This year in the studies that I've been thinking about, been sharing a little bit with you and been reading, I was just amazed at the humanity of this, of how they were really, Mary and Joseph, the Holy Family, they were called to go through an amazing amount of difficulty. You know, we sometimes have this idea they had halos around their heads and everything. We have these perfect manger scenes and it wasn't like that at all. That's hogwash. Seriously, I'm not being maybe you think I'm being irreligious, but I mean, it really wasn't like that. It really wasn't. So, but you know, the reality is, there are common ways that we can get distracted. So, here's what I did. In your outline, I put together three blanks. There's three blanks in there. I would invite you to fill them in as we work through them. I think there's three ways that we can get distracted very easily from the joy of Christmas. The first one is busyness. We get too busy. We just get too darn busy with everything we got to do. The innkeeper is a great example of this. So, you know, he is really busy. And you know the story where Mary and Joseph, they have to go back to their hometown of Bethlehem. So they make this trip from Nazareth, which was very difficult. And I realized one of the things that never dawned on me before, I don't know if this ever hit you before, but you know, he had a business set up in Nazareth. And he's dirt poor. They don't have any money. We see that from the testimony in the Gospels. They don't have any money. They're really broke. And then he has to leave his business and he has to go to Bethlehem. And we think, well, he just returns to his business, right? That's the way it is. No, we get the indication when we read the scripture story that he actually proceeded to set up business in Bethlehem. And then he no sooner gets things set up there and he gets notice that they got to go back. They have to go to Egypt. So they have to make an international travel across desert for about 100 miles to who knows where. No money. Everything kind of just right at the last minute, magi show up, just one thing after another like that. Yeah, so it's amazing. So here they are in this case, beginning of all this trust and faith and walking with God. And they get to there and the innkeeper comes out and says, nope, sorry. You know, they looked at all the places they could, the Super 8, Holiday Inn, they're all full. There's, you know, no vacancy. And so they're stuck. And actually, in the story from Luke, which is good to clear up, and at our Bible class, we burst all the bubbles watching a video from the Nativity. It kind of gave us some different ideas. And in that one, it is true. There is no innkeeper in Luke. It actually is not there. So that's something that we just made up with our tradition. It just says an inn. And an inn was simply a place that was a house. And normally, in this time frame, what they would have been is they would have been a house And on the top of that level of the house, they would have built some extra rooms. And so people could come and they could check in. And so you had a couple extra rooms and you would rent them out to people that came to the town for different purposes. And of course, you know, it's really busy and there's no room. And so it says that she gave birth to her firstborn son. And I was just thinking about this. Can you imagine? He's looking for a place, and as he's knocking on the door, Mary's water breaks. And I mean, this is just imminent. There's really, you're right at the point where this whole thing is just coming unglued. And they find a place that says, lay him in a manger. Now, you guys who are from a farm culture, I know, Randy, you come from that. Others of us do too. You guys know what a manger is. I mean, it's pretty nasty. This is not, you know, a pleasant thought. And they, you know, put the baby in this basically a feeding trough because there was no room in the inn. Now, what I would ask you to do is circle that expression, no room. That is very important because from the innkeeper's perspective, this is actually good news. Business is booming. He's got what he wants. He's got a full house. So he's making money. So his good news is the fact that it is full. And this is something that's good that they're having the census. All the out-of-towners have come to town. But the point for us is this. Busyness with all the business of life means that there is no room for Christ to come into our homes and make his home in our hearts. There's no room. You know, and I ask myself the question, am I too busy? Am I too busy with all the stuff I'm doing at church? Am I too busy with the stuff for the family? Am I too busy with all the concerns and plans and things that I'm doing to make room for Jesus in my heart? Are you too busy? You know, and I'm not talking about your house and all your decorations, because you could have more or less this year. Depends on the year. I'm talking about your thoughts. I'm talking about your time, your budget, your plans. Are you busy with everything else so that you don't have room? There's no room for Jesus, really, in our lives because of all the busyness in your mind. And as a result, we miss the joy of what it means to know Christ. The second one that came to mind at Christmas season, and I was thinking of the best word to say this, for me, to put in the blank, is too familiar. Too familiar. It's just familiarity. Know the story too well. And, you know, we've all heard the story before, but it doesn't inspire us anymore. It doesn't grip us. It's not like just amazing thing that happened. That's why this year really gripped me when I was thinking about how much they had to go through. The first year of their life, so this is Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, was just incredible. They were broke. They had to travel. They had to move to a new place. They had an assassination attempt. They had like one thing after another. And right at the nick of time, God comes in and helps them. That is an excruciating way to live. And plus, you're trying to take care of your wife. You're trying to take care of your kid. I mean, this is just really difficult. And that just really struck me, you know, of really how much God is able to come into my life in the little things. And do I trust Him? Do I give those things over to Him? Or do I feel that I have to bear them? Do I worry about them? Because there's different fruit that results from how you approach those situations in your life. There is a different result that happens in our lives as a result of trusting in God and casting our cares upon Him. There is a peace. There is a joy. There is a goodness that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. But I think sometimes we've heard this story so much before. You know, we know the Mary and Joseph and the little baby. And we know the shepherds and the wise men and what they did. And the angels, they sang glory to God in the highest. And, you know, it's kind of ho-hum. And can become so familiar that it doesn't amaze you anymore. So one thing that I've shared before, and this just blew me away when I first looked it up, because I really did not know this for many years, that apparently, well, you'll see in the text that I wrote in here first, if you look under there, I have the where these Jewish leaders are summoned by Herod, and Herod wants to find out where Jesus is going to be born. So that's why the text is in there, because Herod gets these magi that are coming, so he summons the logical people, the people that know, all the ones that have studied this, and then calls them in to say. And they, of course, know right off the bat. They give him the quote. They say, "But you, O Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So they're sitting there quoting this prophecy to him. They have the Magi there with all of their entourage and all of their gifts coming to worship this Messiah that this nation has been waiting for. Now there has been 400 years of silence between the scriptures, and they're waiting, they're hoping for this. And you can see people like Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna in the temple. There are people that are waiting for this. It's 5 miles away, and they didn't go. I was like, when I heard that, I was like, really? You just don't care that much? That it's just 5 miles. You just heard the Messiah was going to be born. They didn't go. Man, they're just too familiar with it, you know. And with King Herod himself, there's some fear there. There's fear there, and he was one that was not Jewish. He's actually of Arab descent, and he had kind of taken over the throne. He's ruling over the people, and Herod is a crazy man. If you've studied history, this guy is a very, very just wily nut. And he systematically would murder anybody that he thought was in his way. And that's how he got to be the ruler that he was at that time. And when he heard this king was coming, he just went ballistic. He went crazy. He's like, no way. And of course, it's very pleasant. I want to go and I want to worship him. But his fear just drove him to just incredible lengths, and he committed genocide, actually. He said every child in Bethlehem that was born within a 2-year period is to be murdered. I mean, nowadays, he'd be war crimes. You know, this would not happen in our day. This is a horrible thing. And I was thinking about fear. You know, you and I don't have that fear like that. We don't have that fear of Christ. But I think one fear that we have in our faith is we're afraid to give our lives over to Jesus Christ, to just put him in his hands. Just say, Lord God, I'm yours. Take me, use me, shape me, mold me. Bless me, bless my relationships, bless my marriage, bless my kids, bless my church. Lord, we just want you present, and we only want you present. That's kind of a scary thing. You know, that's kind of a difficult thing for us to kind of just let go to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And it's difficult for us because a lot of people around us that think church is just a bunch of hypocrites. You know, and they talk like that. And there's no way they're going to set foot in a place like this because they're all just a bunch of hypocrites. And I think the reality of that is people see people who believe without ever really meeting the one that they believe in. And that's really sad. You know, it's a crutch, right? That's what people will say. It's a crutch for those people that are unfulfilled in life. They need a little something. And it's the exact opposite. It's not a crutch. It's fulfillment. It's wholeness. It's fullness. And that's why the last one is what? We need to do what we... Let's do this. Let's do this, church. Let's go and see the Christ. And I use the angels speaking to the shepherds as an example. It talks to the shepherds. The angel says, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." That includes you and me. So now we're part of this. Praise God. For there is born to you this day a Savior in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Isn't that cool that you know, they didn't have GPSs, so they couldn't look it up and get the Google map to go exactly to the same place. They just said, go look for him. He's somewhere over in that town. So just go in there, and I'll bet you they're and they thought about it, and they said, hey, we got to go check this out. This is amazing. And isn't it cool that he came to shepherds? I learned something this week that I want to share with you. Maybe you already know this, and you go, I already knew that. But something that I learned this week when I was at a meeting is, you know, they're there for the census. And you know that shepherds weren't even considered people? They didn't pay taxes. They weren't even under the census. They didn't consider them as part of the census because they weren't considered as real people. And so they didn't pay taxes, which actually could be a blessing, but still, they were like the lowest rung. And God appears to them. So, I mean, if you were on the lowest rung, God comes to you. Whatever you're dealing with, you know, there's such a hope. There is such, I mean, anybody, the door is absolutely open. And he just comes to us with this sort of love and passion. And one thing that I would really like you to see is that it is a love and a passion for you. You know, so much of the time, Christmas is informational for us. I believe passionately it needs to be transformational. Not informational only. Transformational. And it's transformational when it comes into our lives and we see Jesus Christ for who he is, as a loving, caring Savior, one that is concerned. That can shape my heart. That can change my heart. That can bring a different answer. That can bring a different hope. That is a really, really powerful thing. And we would not have that if this little baby was not born in a manger as a human being and as all God and grew up to be just like us. This is the hope. This is the joy. And so I would end with asking you, what do you see? Go and see. What do you see when you look in the manger? Do you see a Savior that speaks his love into your lives? Do you see that as something that you can share? I've seen this week, actually. I'll share this with you in closing. It was really, really struck me. Because you ever have a bad day where you're kind of a little bit, maybe not sour, you're not negative, or, you know, you're doing okay, but, you know, you had kind of a so-so day, right? And then you see somebody that does something, and you're just like, wow. I mean, it's like a brush of fresh air just comes in and it blows right into you. So we were just hanging around, and there was this lady that was there with us, and we were starting up a conversation, just some friends there. And, you know, the lady, as we were talking, she did look kind of sad and stuff. And she reached up and she held her neck like this. And one of the persons who is in the group just said, oh, well, how you doing? Very observant. And just saw that. And right when they said that, the person just opened up to them. And just said, oh, it's been just a terrible day. You know, I just really tough, and I'm doing all this work, and this is happening, and that is happening. And it was just the fact that that person reached out with really what was the love of Christ. And that just kind of, it was amazing to see it flow out of the person into the life of the other one, and then kind of animate everyone around them. And you think about the shepherds, that's actually what they did, because when they left that manger scene, they went out and it says they told everybody. They were transformed. And that's what the transformation looks like as it lives and it breathes in us. And we all have good days and we all have bad days and we all wrestle with things. But this love of Christ is something that is a beautiful, wonderful, powerful thing. Let's speak this to the world. Let's take this to the world. This is actually the call that God has given you and me. This is how He thinks of us.